Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. And welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. I'm Tom Bump, your host. As most of you know, we're in the middle of this COVID-19 crisis and all the quarantines that are going on. And as we're recording this here at the end of March, it is. I'm losing track of days if you've been like me. And the whole idea that ministry and what it's looking like and what it's going to look like in the future is really becoming more of a hot topic in our Facebook groups. And a lot of us as leaders are trying to figure out, how do we minister to families? How do we help parents disciple their kids? How do we help kids stay connected to the church, to their small group leaders, and have that relationship with each other? There's so many things. It's kind of a whirlwind right now of change. And yet, I really do believe God is in the middle of it all and leading into some great things. And I'm excited about what's coming out. And so as we look at some things, we were originally, my guest and I, David Roush and I, were going to be talking about the idea of relationships and how we can't get this wrong. And we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about it in light of the crisis and how ministry is changing, even for David, as the creator of Go curriculum. And we'll talk about that too. So David, welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. It's good to have you on, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Tom.
We were talking just before we started this recording. We were going to go in one direction and then we both decided because we are in the middle of so much that it would probably be wiser to continue to talk about this, but also to just have a conversation about, as leaders, what we're seeing in the kid ministry world right now. And tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing, and then we'll dive into the conversation.
Yeah, right. So I've been in children's ministry now for, I think, over 20 years. And I've been on the front lines. I've been up on the stage teaching kids. I've been a small group leader. I've been the director. I've been all those things. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, God called me into this new adventure where we started a curriculum company. And we now develop Go curriculum. And we've been doing that for 5 or 6 years. And as you know, as a small business owner, someone who starts something new, I mean, it's all you can do in those early years to keep your head above water. Yeah. And that's what it was. I mean, we were just scratching and clawing to stay alive for the longest time. And now we are rocking and rolling and growing, at least up until about a month ago, we were. And then everything changed. But so Go curriculum, we say that it is the chronological curriculum that gets kids out of their seats and into the storytelling action. So it is the most interactive curriculum that you're going to find out there. And obviously, one of the main components to interaction is relationship. Mm-hmm. It's all about people having relationship, building relationship. And utilizing those relationships to tell story and to learn lessons and to go deeper in your faith.
Yeah. And as we're looking at all of this, one of the things that, I was going off some of your blog posts about relationships and why that's so important. I want to ask you, because we always, if everybody that's been listening to KMC knows I'm going to ask this question of you.
Yeah.
is the why question. So right. Why do you think relationships matter so much to connecting like that?
That reminds me of a story. There was a time, I think it was probably about 2 years ago, that there was a church down the road that had just started using Go curriculum. And for their first weekend, they wanted to know if I would come and teach it for them, to kind of show them how to do it. And I was like, absolutely. So, I prepared the lesson I loved the lesson. It was great material. And I took my son with me. At the time, I think my son was in the second or third grade. And I said, hey, come and do this with me. Come sit in the audience while I do this. And so I went and I taught the lesson. And I'll tell you, like I said, I think it was a good lesson. And trying to be modest here, I feel like I taught it very well. and it looked like I had the engagement of the kids, and I felt good about it. And then afterwards, when I got done, I went and I talked to my son, and I could just see that he was really teary-eyed. And so I asked him, I said, "Hey, what's wrong, bud?" And I mean, you have to know my son, sometimes when he gets emotional like that, he will bottle it up. So it took my wife and I probably, no kidding, 2 or 3 hours to get him to talk. And at one point during the course of this, I mean, he broke down in tears. He was sobbing to the point where he couldn't talk. And I'm starting to wonder what happened to him when we were at this church. I thought something terrible must have happened. And so finally, after a long time, I got him to say what was wrong. And what he said was, "I didn't know anybody there."
Oh, wow.
And so it didn't matter how good the lesson was or how good the presentation of that lesson was. It didn't matter to him. What mattered is that he did not have relationship. He felt like a stranger there. He didn't know any of the other kids. And so, you know, it sort of illustrated for me how important it is that those kids in our ministry feel like they know each other and their leaders, and that they are known by each other and their leaders. Because if they do not have that, it doesn't matter what we give them. It doesn't matter how good your programming is, how good your lesson is. If they don't feel like they are loved and known, they're not going to hear it. And that's hard for me to say as somebody who has devoted his life to creating these awesome resources to give the churches. I have to at the same time tell them, look, this is very important, but it is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you are developing relationships with those kids. Right. I mean, honestly, it reminds me of back when I was in college ministry. I loved the college ministry that I was a part of. I couldn't wait every week to go to that college ministry. But what's funny is that when I think back to that ministry and I talk to other people who are a part of it, one of the things that we think of is like how the preaching was not that great. And the music, even for the time, was kind of cheesy, but we could not wait to go there because that's where our friends were.
Right.
So, you know, as a children's pastor, so many people are devoting so much of their time and energy to creating the lesson itself, so the programming aspects of the weekend, whereas that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is developing the relationships with the kids.
Yeah, and that goes along with, you know, something that I know you put in your blog post, that your worst teacher is better than your best.
Yeah. I was at a conference. We had our Go curriculum booth at a conference. It was at CPC. And I had these two Kidman leaders come up to me, and they're talking to me. And one of them, they work at the same church. They're coworkers. And so one of them is telling me the story. He's telling me a story about this one particular large group teaching volunteer. And she's talking about how, you know, he rambles. He's never prepared. He's kind of quirky, you know, he just every once in a while he says or does these kind of very quirky things. And the whole time that she's telling this story, her coworker is right by her side and she's nodding her head in agreement like, yeah, that is totally him. And then, there's a pause and the coworker says, "Yeah, but you know what? The kids love him." And, you know, that was another one of those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so true. Like, I, you know, as much as I have my checklist of things that make a great large group teacher, they're prepared. They use their body well to convey the message. They use their voice well. They know how to manage a group of kids. Like, check, 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 check. Those are all things you need to have to be a great teacher. but it made me realize that probably the biggest box that you need to be able to check off is that you have relationship with those kids.
Yes.
Because if the kids feel like they know the person who's up there teaching them, they're going to learn from them.
You're right.
They're going to learn from them. But if they don't know who the person is, or it's a new person all the time, they don't learn as much. There was a study that was done not too long ago, where researchers took some very young kids and they taught them Chinese sounds. And they had them split into two different groups. In one group, they had a live teacher who had a relationship with the kids teaching the kids the Chinese sounds. And in the other group, they had the same researcher, but the researcher was on a video. And she was teaching the same lesson on video. And what they found out is that the kids who had the face-to-face live interaction with the teacher learned the Chinese sounds at an amazing rate. Whereas these young kids who were watching the video and getting the same lesson learned almost nothing.
Wow.
And their conclusion was that what was missing was the relationship. It was the eye-to-eye contact. It was the interpersonal nature of the learning that was going on. There's an article by a gentleman. Oh, I'm blanking on his name. It's David Brooks. David Brooks is a New York Times columnist. He writes a lot of political articles, but he also writes a lot of research and learning articles. And he talked about this research in this article titled "Students Learn from the People They Love." And that is so true. That was the whole point of his entire article, was to talk about when people know and love their teacher, they learn so much more from them. In fact, you know, the research shows that when you have a relationship with a person, when you know and you respect and you love a person, that it actually opens up parts of the brain that are not otherwise opened. And by opening up those parts of the brain, you are able to hear and to learn and to remember things that you are not able to when those parts of the brain are not open. It just goes to show you again that it is so important that we focus not just on the lesson itself, not just on what we want for kids to know, but we focus on the relationship.
Yeah. Oh, man. And so I want to hit one more topic because it's going to weave together exactly where I'm thinking I want to finish with this podcast.
Yeah.
I think this is really cool because we're talking about this idea of relationship and basically now we're having home churches and with right. parents. So right there, we've already seen that there's another reason why, as our amazing God is, that He said in Deuteronomy 6, you know, that the parents are to be those primary faith givers because they've got that relationship.
Right. Well, now they have no choice. They have to be. They're stuck at home.
They are. And what I loved and what I wanted to hit real quick on, because I think this is important too, is the idea of linking play to create relationships and growth.
Yeah.
So talk about that just a little bit, because I think this is another area, and then this is going to take us into that next turn.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that people are always wondering, you know, especially as kidmin leaders, how do we develop those relationships? And part of it's just time, and part of it is exposure and numbers of conversations, and it's getting up in front of them and teaching the lesson and sitting down and having, you know, leading them in small group or in conversation. That's all part of developing relationship. But honestly, the best, most productive way to build relationships with kids is through play. It's through play. And you know, again, we, as kidmin leaders, we think of ourselves, well, no, we're professionals. We're professional children's ministry leaders. We need to teach lessons and we need to do these productive things. And play is not productive. Play is what we do with the kids at the beginning while we're waiting for everyone to show up so that we can get down to business.
Right.
But if that's the way that you see play, you are absolutely missing it. Play is not, you know, what you're doing while you're waiting for things to get started. play is the thing. I mean, that's how kids learn through play. Kids develop relationship through play. Kids develop trust through play. And that is the most productive time to do it. I'll tell you just a quick story. One of the things that I'm doing right now at my church, we have this ministry. It's called Los Vecinos. It's an outreach ministry to this neighboring town. So this neighboring town is one of the wealthiest towns in all of Missouri. And smack dab in the middle of it, there's a trailer park with a 90% Hispanic community, very poor. And so once a week I go there, you know, for what originally I thought was going to be tutoring, primarily math tutoring and mentoring. And, you know, I have so much experience working with kids. I just kind of, in my head, I pictured what it was going to be like I was going to walk in. I know how to manage a group of kids. I know how to own a room. I know how to get them to do what I want them to do. And I walked into there and after week one, felt so defeated.
Oh no.
Like, I mean, every trick in the bag, all these old tricks, they did not work with this group of kids. It was a rough bunch.
Wow.
And like I said, I just kind of walked away thinking, man, that there was no tutoring happened. I don't think anyone learned any math. And so over the course of the next weeks and the next month, I started to really realize, you know, what the problem was. And the problem was, is I had no relationship with them. They didn't know who I was. And it was hard to develop that relationship while teaching them math, while, you know, trying to organize and structure all of their time during this hour and a half together. And so me and my co-leader, we switched things up. And we just said, you know what? Let's set the math down for a little while. They're not learning it anyway, you know, so there's no point in trying to shove it down their throats. They've been in school all day long. They just got out. I think the last thing that they wanted to do was learn more math. And so we just started to hang out with them. You know, we would go to the church next door and we'd take a basketball and we'd shoot hoops and we'd play gaga ball and we'd play football.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the course of the next month, everything changed. As soon as we had relationship with them, as soon as they learned to trust us and they knew us and we could laugh with them and we could get down on their level and do the things that they love to do, suddenly they listened.
Yeah.
And suddenly they weren't so wild. And all of a sudden now we've been able to start to do little lessons with them. And we've been able to open up the Bible with them a little bit and talk about the Bible. But that wasn't happening before because relationship wasn't there. And the way that we developed relationship, even with these tough kids in one of the toughest areas around us in this mobile home park, play, that completely revolutionized it. So, I mean, for children's ministry leaders, I would say, you know, provide a healthy amount of play, especially, you know, more so for the preschoolers, but even the elementary kids. Because that's where they're going to develop the relationships with you and with the other kids. Oh, and that's the other thing that I would say. It's a training piece too. It's a training piece for the children's ministry leaders, but then also for their volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, I'll see at a church service in the children's ministry, during those first moments when the kids are playing, the volunteers are lined up against the wall or they're over in a corner, or, you know, they got the coffee cup in one hand and their lesson in the other. And they're just sort of, they're chatting with each other. It's time for them to catch up. And they're missing the point. They're missing an opportunity.
Yes.
Get down on the floor with those kids, play with them during that time. There is something so important that's happening. If you're standing against the wall, you are missing it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When I've gone in to consult with churches and to help them, that is one of the things that usually gets pinged on my list as I'm walking around watching, because they're missing that golden time of discipleship and of growth and challenging kids. And it's sad when they miss that opportunity, because again, you only get limited time with the kids on a weekend.
Yeah.
And how can we sacrifice that time to be unintentional? And so that beginning and that ending And honestly, the ending time, you know, I've had people say, oh, well, I just let the kids free play for the last 10, 15 minutes, you know, and
no. If service goes long. Yeah.
Oh, that's missing an opportunity.
But isn't that crazy, though? I mean, think about that. Again, we use the word discipleship. That's what we're all trying to do with these kids. And so when you think of that word discipleship, you think of these very specific, very structured, very content-driven things. But for kids, you know what discipleship is? It's playing Connect Four with mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sitting down and coloring with them. It's building blocks. It's playing Legos with them. Yeah. That is discipleship
for
kids, because you are getting down alongside of them in their world and you're walking with them.
Yeah. And it's funny to me that why we don't get this, when you look at what Jesus did with his disciples, you know, it wasn't always him sitting down formally and them sitting at his feet and he expounds. I get the picture when he's walking through the field and he's running his hand through the grain.
Yeah, right.
And he starts talking about the harvest field right there. He's sitting at the well after engaging with the woman from Samaria, and he's talking about living water and knowing people and having relationship and all these guys. Jesus was right there. And I mean, yes, they weren't playing. I get it.
Right.
But he was using that rhythm and that time. And so I think on Sunday mornings, we're missing out on those beginning and ending sometimes if we don't take advantage of those moments where, like you said, as kids are walking in and you're, how are your week? How was your week? You know, and just engaging them about what was your favorite week, part of the week, and what'd you do? What was fun? What was exciting? And like I say, doing those kind of opportunities. So now I want to flip it a little bit. In light of all of this COVID-19 stuff, I know a lot of leaders are throwing a ton of resources to the families, because now we're telling families, hey, you got to do church at home. We think this is important, so we're going to throw things at you.
Yeah.
And I've been cautioning a lot of people around the Kid Ministry Collective, and even jumping into some other Facebook groups. But let's be careful. One, because you've got all these parents who are now first-time homeschoolers. They're first-time work-at-home people. It may be a brand new experience to have one or both parents at home at the same time with all of the kids, the whole family,
right,
from birth to high school, all in one place. And so, you know, they're getting bombarded. They've been bombarded with emails from everybody and their brother about their COVID-19 policies. I can't even look at my email hardly anymore, because I'm just like, I don't care what my oil change place.
Yeah, right. Policy. Yeah. Like what's the COVID policy for the car wash down the street from me? You know, you're right. I'm getting so many emails.
I've gotten one from the car wash place. Yeah. I've gotten my email from the car dealer that I haven't been to in 6 years. You know, and so all these parents, these poor parents are being barraged with all of that, all of trying to figure out a new rhythm at home, a new workspace, a new everything. And then, like I say, then the church comes in and we're saying, hey, okay, you can watch church on TV or on your computer. You know, I do see a day where I'm concerned of, are we going to come into a screen fatigue? Because you've got all these parents who limited their kids on screen time.
Yeah.
Now the kids are spending their entire week on the screen. Are they going to get to the weekend and go, I'm
yeah, not. Yeah, right. And tricky. Like I was saying earlier, I mean, even forget coronavirus for a second. Even before that, video is not the best teaching tool.
Right.
You know, people and kids don't learn from a video the same way that they learn from a live person.
Right. So as we look at those things, let's talk about, for parents and for ministry people, what can we do? You're, like I said, you've been refitting Go. Maybe I should have you explain a little bit about what Go curriculum really is, because I think people need to get an insight of what this change has meant for you, because you are looking at it from, okay, I'm now dealing with the parents who have the relationship, who have the opportunity to even use play in that relationship and in discipleship at home. So, because I do think, like I said, we as the church leaders have got to get ahead of this and go, okay, we have a golden opportunity to help parents. But the problem is, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I just see a lot of resources being shipped out.
Yep.
Not a lot of help for the parent to say, hey, here, take a breath. We're going to walk alongside you. And as you can, as you develop your new normal, as you develop this routine, here's how you can make the most of this. You have a great relationship. You have a golden opportunity to not only make this time more intentional, because I don't want to waste, to me, this is like the beginning and the end of our services. We have a golden opportunity to win parents' hearts towards discipling their children, or we could lose them. You know, they always say the best place to win your audience is at the introduction. It's the worst place to lose them.
Yeah.
We're at the beginning right now of this crisis. We don't know how long it's going to go. So again, I've kind of merged a bunch of things at you, but first, tell us a little bit about Go, and then let's talk a little bit about how parents, how we can help parents with all of this.
Yeah, man. You know, we first saw this virus coming. Gosh, I think the first time I heard anything about it was maybe in January. But at that point, it was a news story about something that was going on in China.
Right.
And that's so far away. That doesn't involve me. And so you don't even think that this is going to impact my world. But then, you know, you hear more news stories and more news stories. And then it's in America, it's in Washington. It's just, it's, you know, it's blowing up in the state of Washington. And you start hearing about churches that are canceling services in Washington and in California and in New York. But still you're thinking, you know, those are the hot spots
right
in the country. I'm from St. Louis, I'm in Missouri. And it was probably, gosh, you were saying you lose track of time. I'm losing track of time here. It's maybe 2 weeks ago that in the state of Missouri, we had a total of 4 cases at the time, 0 deaths, 4 cases. And we got a notification that our church service was being canceled. And it dawned on me that if I'm in a state that has 4 cases and we're canceling church, this is not going to be something isolated. The church services are going to be canceled across the country and all of North America and the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as someone who my whole life right now is creating curriculum and providing these resources, there was I kind of went into this panic of like, oh no, if churches aren't canceled, then they're not buying curriculum. And if they're not buying curriculum, how are we going to stay afloat during this time? And I kid you not, there was probably about a 2-hour period after this all dawned on me where my mentality was, okay, put your head down. We've got to weather this out. We've got to tighten our belt here. We have to stop spending money. And we've got to hope that this thing ends soon. So that we can get back to what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this, the feeling was this feeling of utter defeat. Like I felt like a victim of something that I hadn't brought on myself, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt that way for about 2 hours before I said, no, snap out of it. Okay. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging, you know, I'm going to run with this thing. And in fact, it started to dawn on me that this is an opportunity. And so instead of saying, hey, put your head down, we kind of said, hey, everybody's world is changing. The church world is changing. Children's ministry world is changing. We've got to figure out how to change with it and how to equip children's ministry leaders to roll with this season. And so within probably, I kid you not, probably a 5 to 7 day period, we took all of Go curriculum, which again is produced to be sort of this live, interactive, in-person experience. And we completely remade it so that it was something that children's ministry leaders could send to their families at home and they could do it at home. We made a video experience as a part of it, but we do video just a little bit different. We took the small group activities and we customized them so that the parents could do it. We took the conversation guide and made it so that the parents could do it. I mean, we basically completely repackaged Go so that it could be an online children's ministry resource. And we gave that to not only the people who were subscribing to Go, but we gave it to anybody. We said, during this period, we are committed for as long as we financially can to put this in the hands of anyone who would find it useful. Mm-hmm. And so we worked day and night to build a new website, to shoot the videos, to recreate and to adapt all these resources so that it could be done not at church, but suddenly in people's homes. And so we've been working, you know, like I said, day and night to do that. And then I was telling you before, I mean, one of the greatest blessings and curses for me is I keep getting new ideas. I keep seeing ways of, oh my gosh, we could resource people this way and that way and this way. Yeah. And I jump on those as fast as I can. And so that's what we've been doing. And I'll get to one of the things that we're doing in just a second, but that reminds me, there's a bigger point that I wanted to make with all of that, is that even as children's ministry leaders, or regardless of what your profession is, if your approach to this whole thing has been to, I'm going to put my head down and we're just going to weather this out, then I think you're missing an opportunity. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love about having the world, my world, shaken like this is that it forces me outside of my comfort zone, yes, outside of my box, outside of the normal way that I operate. And it forces me to think differently and to approach problems differently. And I promise you that when all of this is over, and it will be over at some point, and the world kind of goes back to the way it was, and people start going to church again, there are some things that we've done and that we've experimented with and that we've learned during this period that we will keep on doing.
Yeah,
and we right. would not have discovered it otherwise.
Yep. Yep.
And the same goes for the children's ministry world, not just for the content development, not just for curriculum, but in each one of the children's ministry leaders world, if you start to get creative with how you're going to reach your families when they're at home, I promise you, you're going to come up with some ideas and you're going to do some things that when it's all done with, you're going to keep on doing because you realized that it was effective. And, mm-hmm. and what's interesting about this too, is that we have been telling parents forever that it is primarily your role, your responsibility to disciple your kids.
Right.
But we weren't very serious about equipping them to do that. And suddenly mm-hmm. we've been thrown into this world where we're forced to do it. We literally cannot have live interaction with those kids. Those kids are not coming to us
right.
anymore.
Right.
So suddenly the whole children's ministry world has gotten very creative with how they're going to equip the parents to do what we've been telling them they've needed to do all this time. Like, right. why weren't we coming up with these ideas 2, 3, 10 years ago?
Yes.
So this whole thing has just forced us all to figure out how to equip our parents.
Right. And I think that's one of those things that in a Zoom group on the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group we had the other day, I asked the question, what do you think Kidmin's going to look like on the other side of this?
Yeah.
And one person's response immediately was, well, I just hope we don't go back the way we were.
Right.
And I was like, wow, you're right. And so then we started talking about, well, why is that? Why do we feel that way? And then what do we want to see on the other side? And I think some of that is the fact that we do need to be more committed, not because I don't think it's all on Kidmin leaders. And there's another discussion,
right?
Well, we don't have time for, unfortunately, but this whole thing of whose responsibility is it to disciple the parents, to disciple their children. But I do think we sit in a unique seat and we have a unique place of influence with parents because we do work with their children. So we have relationship that we can leverage to say to the parents, hey, I want to walk with you through this time because I know this is hard. And this is scary and you're adjusting. And so look, breathe, take a pause, step back. You don't have to do it like we do it. You do it like you do. And like you started at the very beginning with that story, you may not think you're presenting it very well. You right. may not think you're doing it like you do. The kids get it on Sunday, but it doesn't matter, because what matters is you have relationship with your children. You can build by their faith. You can lead them to Christ. Maybe during this time, this is a great opportunity to share the gospel with your children and to help them understand right. the building blocks of what that is. And then if they are believers, to help them take those next steps of faith and to think through what does their faith look like in this new world, and how can they share Jesus with their friends? How can they live out their faith? How can they daily put on the armor of God? How can they wrestle with their doubts and their fears?
Right.
There's so much here that is right in front of us that we have a golden opportunity to walk with parents and to help them do this, because a lot of them have never been discipled before. They don't yeah. know what discipleship looks like. And they don't know what even sometimes they don't even know what kids' church looks like. And so this is a golden opportunity to show them not only here's the material, but how to use it, how you can do it in your home. Because you're now the kids pastor. Guess what?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
really, and that's what we've been trying to tell parents all along. They always have been the kids pastor,
yeah.
not the professional, not the paid right. kids pastor, but they're kids pastors, their own kids yes. pastors.
Yes. And we're coming alongside. I've always told parents this, look, yes, I have the title kids, children's pastor, but really you, that's your job. I'm to work in your children's ministry. You're not coming in to work in mine. I'm coming to work for you and,
yeah.
and in your children's ministry, because you have that relationship. You have the hours and hours with the kids. You have that deeper relationship than I will ever have with your children. So how yeah. can I help you? And I think that that's the kind of the questions we have to continue to keep asking our families. How can I help you? And where are you getting stuck? Where do you struggle with? What are you afraid of talking about with your kids? And then helping them with this kind of things. Cause I think some of that's going to be our greater ministry right now than just even, but I will say too, I think there's some great things I'm seeing. I saw a children's pastor who put up a calendar link where kids could schedule a time to come and chat with them. And he would do
that's awesome
chat with the family kind of thing. And I thought, great, he's leveraging relationship. And what is that communicating to the parent? Hey, we love your kids.
Yeah.
And we're invested in you and to help them. And they're even allowing parents to do that, of saying, hey, parents, schedule a time just to chat with me. I want to check up on you and see
that's how so you're awesome. Doing.
And I think those are things that we can do, just like you're retrofitting not even retrofitting. That's not the right word.
We're adapting.
There you go. There you go.
We're adapting it, which is what the whole world is doing right now. We're all yeah. adapting. We're, you know, not just with children's ministry, but our entire lives, education, we're adapting education. So, yeah. but that's amazing. I've seen on Facebook, I've seen some other children's pastors who are doing these Zoom meetings, sometimes one-on-one with a family or a kid, and sometimes like these big group Zoom meetings where yeah. all the kids can jump in. And that's incredible. You know what would be really sad though, after all of this goes back to normal, is if that stopped.
Yes.
I mean, that's an incredible idea to do with your kids, even when church is open.
Yes.
To be able to hang out with them on a Wednesday via Zoom.
Yeah.
Or check in with a family sometime during the week. Gosh, that should just be happening all the time.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. And I think we have, you know, like I said, it now's the time. And I'm like you, I have all these ideas, although sometimes I'm having a harder time implementing and jumping on some of those things. Cause I've got so many coming into my head about, you know, we could do this or that and this or that. And I love what God is stirring in my heart and helping me. Cause yeah, like you, I mean, doing KMC coaching, right now I'm trying to figure out how do I serve the kid ministry community? How can I help these frontline
yeah.
brothers and sisters do the best that they can? And so these are the kind of questions I'm asking, and is what can we do to better partner? But I'm also looking at that idea of what can I do to help parents, as a pastor,
yeah.
just to,
I think one of the things too, again, as someone who's a resource provider and kind of taking a look at how do we resource children's ministry leaders and now parents, families at home to lead their kids towards Christ. I consider how we can do it. I've been looking at how other people, other companies are doing it. And so I've been learning a lot through the whole thing as well. And so I've seen sort of a few different responses, especially from the resource providers out there. One response has been to do nothing. To kind of do what I had been doing for those first 2 hours, which is to put your head down, hope this thing ends soon, and we can get back to business. I've seen another response, which is to take all of the video content that has already been produced for the curriculum and just make it available to children's ministry leaders to use with their families at home. Mm-hmm. But our response has been to create it fresh for this specific purpose. Because one of the things I think people need to realize is that you couldn't just take a Go lesson the way that it's done live, put that on a video, show it to kids at home, and expect that it's going to land the same way that it would if it was done live. Right. It's different, especially with kids. It just does not land the same way. And so, there's one in particular, there's one provider that I was looking at where the way that the church was using it was that there was a preschool experience, a separate preschool experience that lasted probably 30 to 40 minutes long. And then it was supposed to involve the preschoolers and the parents together. And then there was an elementary age experience that was an hour long for the elementary age kids and the parents to experience together. And then the church service, the live stream of the church service itself was an hour and a half long. And so you do the math there. Yep. If you as a parent have a preschooler and an elementary kid, you're in it for 3 to 4 hours on Sunday morning. Now, I want to believe the best of our parents. But I'm just a moment of vulnerability here. I cannot sustain 3 to 4 hours of video content at home with my kids on Sunday morning. And if I cannot do that, I cannot expect that the parents are either. So we have to be realistic of what we're asking our parents to do. And that's why, so with Go, what we did is we took the lesson and we adapted it with the help of this wonderful church in Kansas City. We adapted it so that it is a 7-minute long video. It's not just a talking head. It's sort of in the style of a morning show, a fun morning show where you learn the Bible story and the big idea and the key verse and all of that. But it's more of in like a YouTube style. It's what you would expect kids to be watching on a YouTube video. And it has parent and family interaction built into it. So every once in a while, you will pause the video and you will turn to each other and you'll just discuss.
Yeah.
And then you'll go back to the video and you'll pause again and then you'll discuss. And again, the video itself is 7 or 8 minutes long. You add in the conversation to the whole thing. And now you're up to maybe 15 plus minute experience with the kids. But that also sets you up for further conversations that are going to be happening throughout the week. And it really is, it's a bite-sized discipleship tools that parents can use in conjunction with their online learning, their online church service on Sunday morning. And you feel like the whole thing is very doable.
Yes.
Because we haven't just thrown the regular materials at them and said to them, here, you do this at home.
Right.
We've kind of customized it to make it an experience that they can do.
Yeah. And that's a great way to kind of wrap this up, because I've been challenging people in the Kid Ministry Collective is that look, we've reacted to the crisis like you described. You know, it's almost like we saw, it's almost like a tsunami kind of happened. We saw the wave getting sucked out, you know, we saw everything going over there, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, here it came.
It's coming in.
And so, you know, you have that opportunity. We have that response of, okay, keep your head down, you know, and just grind it through, you know, and basically do nothing, which I don't think anybody's done too much of. in the church level. But then you've got the other of, hey, let's throw lots of resources at them. And say, good luck.
Yeah, here you go. Here's the materials that I would have used with them. Here, you take them and do my job.
You do it. We're not exactly going to show you how to do it. We're just going to or we do have some that are trying to say, hey, here's how to do it. Here's what you can do and that kind of thing. But I'm just glad that, you know, we can have a conversation like this and hopefully help leaders think through what is my strategy for the long term and how can I help come alongside the parents and show them how relationship is going to be the most powerful thing, not the curriculum. My relationship with my God first and then my children second, that I can pour into my, you know, because like I said, again, you've got all these parents that are brand new work at home parents, brand new homeschool parents. And then yes, you were throwing 3 hours of stuff at them. Is that the best response to this crisis, or was that still more reaction? And to me, that feels reactionary. And I would much rather respond to say, okay, here, let's boil this down. Let's keep it simple. We don't have to do everything that we've always done. We can try some new things. We have a new model. I say that to my coaching students all the time. When you come into a new church, you're working with somebody else's model.
Yeah.
You need to make it your own. So now's the time for us as the church to go, okay, we've been working our old model. It's time for us to start thinking, what's the new model for a while? And then even going beyond this, what's that new model going to look like?
Right.
Again, that's probably a whole other podcast that we could talk
to. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do that. And we're, go ahead.
There's one other awesome thing that we're working on. This was an idea I had 2 days ago. I gave myself 5 days to pull this off, which is an insane amount of time. The other thing that we noticed is that, basically every church Easter egg hunt across the country and all of North America, they're canceled. That's not going to happen. And for good reason. And so we said, let's resurrect the church Easter egg hunt. We're going to figure out how to package this thing up and send it home to the parents so that they could do not just an Easter egg hunt where the kids are running around finding plastic eggs with candy in it, but let's figure out how to harness that activity for the gospel message. So we're creating this entire Easter egg hunt experience that has a video component to it, an Easter egg hunt, a worksheet, all of it works together to help parents to use that fun experience to tell the Easter story and to share the gospel with their kids. And so that's something, I don't know when this podcast is going to be aired. I don't know if it's going to be before Easter or not.
It will be. Yep.
It will be. Awesome. Go to gocurriculum.com. And from there, you'll be able to gain access to the free online kids church that we're doing. And at some point, you know, I'll put up links to the Easter egg hunt as well. So not only can you learn just about Go curriculum in general, but you can see what our response is during coronavirus, and you can learn a little bit more about the Easter egg hunt as well.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much. And thanks for taking some time out.
My pleasure.
To talk through with this and to help people understand even what you do and the challenges that you're facing during this time as well, but also how you can help. And so again, guys, if you're looking for some resources that you can use to leverage your relationships with your families, check it out. Check out Go and see if it's something that you can use and dive in on it. David and his team are accessible. So you can always ask questions and interact with him. And he's on the KMC Facebook group. So feel free to pop a question there if you need to as well. So again, thanks guys for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that you'll continue to stay tuned, subscribe, continue to share it with the Kid Ministry community. And if you haven't joined the KMC Facebook group, we invite you to come and join us there, where you can be a part of a greater community that's growing all of the time, so that we can make each other stronger and we can continue to think What is it going to be like in the days ahead? How can we leverage these and redeem them for all of God's glory? So thanks for listening, and join me again real soon for another edition of the KMC. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page, or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast.